When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J podcast.
Weekly.
Now weekly, of course.
Now weekly.
Was daily, now weekly. But we've got some good stuff for you this week.
Oh, yeah, what do we got?
Well, it's us, basically.
Yeah, I don't remember any of it.
Yeah. Well, it's not a good sign, is it? But no, I think we've chatted about all sorts this week. And that will be reflected over the next 50-odd minutes, I would imagine.
Yes.
We will also hear from John Coleshaw. The Fine Impressionist.
Very good, yeah, he's very amusing.
Who went through the repertoire. He's on tour at the moment. He popped in the source. Yeah. Some sporting, some otherwise.
Yeah, yeah.
But should we just get on with it? Just
let him listen back. I'd like to know what's in it.
Well, all sorts is in it.
Okay.
You know, I don't want to go into debt. What's the point of listening? If I say that now, you won't bother.
We could reflect on it, you know. All right, afterwards.
Okay, here we go then.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, everyone. And first, thanks to our host, Chris Davis.
Yeah.
Formerly of The Telegraph, of course, the football writers. Sat on his table as usual.
We did.
Fun, wasn't
good
it?
Good night. Really, saw a few of the old faces there. Jonathan Pearce on fine form.
Yeah.
And
Terry Alderton.
Had a good chat with Chris Powell. South End manager, he was in, good, isn't
he? I sat next to Mike Calvin, which was very entertaining. Yeah, he's a very interesting man,
chat
so that was good.
Talked a bit of NFL with David Tossley, was with us, and all that sort of stuff. It was all happening.
But I didn't know that Tiny, I don't know his last name, Tiny from Barclays, he came over. He's a lovely man.
It's
good to see him looking well. And
Tiny, of course, so called because he's about 6 foot
well,
seven.
That's what I was going to say.
You get nicknames like that.
Yeah, the ironic nickname is a fascinating thing. I was thinking about it afterwards because he is about 6 foot seven. He's massive, and people go, all right, Tiny. Tiny, but no one ever calls small people like me big. There's Big Andy. I'm going to call myself Big Andy.
Should we start calling you Big Andy
call
Jacobs?
Me big.
Okay, listen, they're not big. That sounds ridiculous.
Yeah.
A film with Tom Hanks in it.
Oi, big.
That Perry Gross
like
probably
that.
Doesn't like. But it's about a kid who's an adult. You can strip every film down like that. I was very impressed with, if you missed Jim, though, caught the end of Jim, Perry. They were talking about their favourite films. And Glenn Ross, you know, sort of adaptation of a David Mamet play. Thinking, well, we used to sit in the Arsenal dressing room discussing all that, did they? Yeah, I'm off to see Speed the Plough tonight.
Glengarry, Glenn Hoddle.
Yeah, that's more like it. Come on, let's have your David Mamet sporting. Let's not do that, eh?
And so we saw Mike Riley having a drink, head of referee supremo.
Yeah, well, I don't know if he was having a drink, he may have been having a Diet Coke or something.
Yeah.
I don't know if he.
He had a very strange pose, didn't he? He had his hand down the back of his trousers.
Well, he didn't. I'm not sure about it. I think he was just hitching up the back of it. You can't do anything, can you? Poor old Mike Riley. He's probably sitting there this afternoon not realising he's been papped by our producer. And he was going to go and have a word about Lee Mason, so he had to hold him back.
I know, honestly.
Good job he'd only had
can
one drink.
Can you believe the FA? Honestly, it's so funny, isn't it? They've charged the FA. They've charged Chelsea for surrounding Lee Mason.
Mm.
And never mind charging them, they should charge Lee Mason, honestly.
What? He did charge Lee Mason with being surrounded by Chelsea
no,
players?
No, being ineptitude, I'm afraid.
Okay.
I mean, he did everything to wind the players up in that first
Not
half.
Deliberately, I'm thinking.
But he did.
Yeah.
Not deliberately, but he still did it. And then, basically, he allowed the time
always the ref's fault
no,
with Chelsea.
No, but he allowed the time waste. Well, he allowed
when
it.
When did the death threat start?
No. And then, William goes to take that corner. And he sees William going across to take the corner. Yeah. He lets him get all the way to the ball. And then with brilliant comic timing, he then blows the whistle.
That's never
and then
good.
The players, obviously, were wound up by him. Sort of heard again, saying, what are you doing, ref, and everything? And now they've got a charge. It's unbelievable.
They probably call that a Clive Thomas. He's probably said to the fourth official, I think that would be a laugh. Let's do a Clive Thomas. Nothing riding on it. Let's do a Clive Thomas. Yeah.
And you were fascinated.
Looking up
by
kids,
the
you know that, heck, I'm talking about Clive Thomas. Like, I always, Brazil.
I always keep a pair of tweezers on me. You seem quite intrigued.
Yeah, you
by
keep
that.
You this. Andy walks around now. How many people do you? How many men do you know who walk around with these two items in their pockets at all times?
Yes,
a pair of tweezers.
Yeah,
for stray ear hair.
Stray ear hair, stray nose hair. I don't like it. I mean, somebody there last night did have a bushel of ear hair in both.
So I'm surprised I could hear anything.
I know, it's just sensational. I felt like lending them my tweezers.
Yeah,
but they were beyond tweezers.
At least you could have lent him your beats, maybe just to cover them up. Yeah, that's a thought, isn't it? That's just put idea. These on. I nearly said his name then. Put these on. So anyway, where was I? What are we talking about? Chelsea,
ear hair.
That's right.
Tweezers.
Arthur Earhair, the old Burnley player.
What a player he was.
Tweezers, yeah. So tweezers, he carries around tweezers and a makeup thing, just in case he's on telly.
It's not just in case I'm on telly.
So if he's got a bit of sheen, he can dab a bit of the old, what's it called, that stuff, like foundation stuff. Bit of makeup on, so he can take the sheen off his face. You're not a very shiny
person.
Oh,
I'm very shiny.
You're not a shiny
person. I'm massively shiny. So, honestly, if I'm out with you in the sun,
I'm looking at our producer now. Have you ever noticed any glare off his forehead?
Well, to be honest, the
producer's
none
whatsoever.
He's a bit of a shiner. He's got a bit of a forehead shiner.
Oh, yeah, go on. Have a pop at him. Well, why don't you lend him your makeup then?
I will.
He can put it
but
on.
He's young, so he hasn't got ear hair at the moment. But if so, I'm the man with the pink tweezers. They're there for
pink
you.
Tweezers?
Well, look at them. They're excellent.
What'd you get him in a cracker or something?
Tweezer man.
Barbie
called.
Cracker.
They are for men. They're called Tweezer man.
Tweezer man.
Yeah.
Okay. Hawksby and Jacobs Weekly from Talk Sport.
Now, listeners will be aware that throughout this season, Andy has been trying to master one or two of the Premier League managers impression-wise, David Wagner and also Sean Dyche especially, and your system of listening to Match of the Day, hearing their post-match press comments, and then just sort of parrot fashion saying what they say.
It's not too good, really.
It's not been great, really, but we've enjoyed watching it all fall apart. So we've got a professional in with us today. It's a welcome return to the studio for impressionist John Carshaw. Good to see you, John.
It is great to see you again.
I mean, the technique, as we said, Andy's technique of listening to the interview on Match of the Day and then just saying back what they've said, what's your system of perfecting a new one? I suppose it is listening a lot to the source material, isn't it?
Yeah, lots of listening, lots and lots of listening. Just really download it into your brain as much as you can and then know when to leave it. Leave your subconscious to sort of work it out.
Are you looking for a sort of verbal tick or sort of something that...
To hang it on.
All those things you need to put together your collection of the aspects of people that make them funny and make them recognisable and that you can stretch for comic effect. So those are all the little nuggets that you're after.
Are there some that come, I say Andy's impressions all roughly, basically come from if it's a pizza, the cheese and tomato base, like John Arlott, it all comes from this slightly gruff. So are there certain impressions that have all got the sort of same base, voices, you listen to a new voice, you think, I can do that because it's a bit like that.
Yes, I think that would certainly get you started. Yeah. That there are certain ones that, voice neighbours, we always used to call it.
Right, yeah.
Ones where you just have a fine little tune from one to the other, and it just gets you there.
If you've got a lot of mine sound like Mr. Kipling.
You always sound like Mr. Kipling. But you sound like Mr. Kipling anyway. You sound like you've got a bit of a cold all the time. Are there any you can think of, John, that kind of morph like that are very close together?
My favourite one of those was, always the former Prime Minister John Major. Make him a little bit more aggressive, and he does go into Michael Caine. Now, you would not think that the two of them might be together.
That's very, very true.
They do.
Now, adding new ones to the rep. You're on tour, aren't you? And 18-date tour of the UK, 6th of May. So you're underway to the 28th of November.
Yes,
fantastic.
Exactly, yes.
So johncarshaw.com's got all the dates there. So perfecting some new ones, I suppose, to keep it fresh for you. You must enjoy doing that as well.
Yeah, Tony Bellew is a great character.
Oh, really? Mm.
You know, I've always loved impersonating the boxers.
You know, Frank Bruno was the first one, and I love how he's coming back like a pundit now. You know, Anthony Joshua, he went out there like a warrior, and really proper done a good number on him. Wicked.
He was wearing a three-piece red suit. The other
yeah,
day,
yeah, fantastic. Yeah.
No one
yeah.
else would want that suit.
But Tony Bellew is you know, he's got that sort of, you know, that determination and that, you know, that very strident way, and he knows how to wind up his opponents, and he knows how to talk in a certain way that just makes it attractive.
Yeah.
I was at an anniversary for my former school, and Tony Bellew was there as well, so I was asked to interview him on the stage, and he very graciously came on and did an interview. But I thought, I have to announce him in the Michael Buffer style, ladies oh, yeah. and gentlemen, the emeritus champion, Tony Bellew. That's and he good. Came on and said, he said, look, when I hear that voice, you know, usually that gets me ready to fight, so you want to be careful announcing me like that.
Did you do your impression for Tony?
I think he didn't mind, yeah.
No, he wouldn't
he didn't
do.
Mind. No, he was very happy
he's
about
a good
that.
Man.
I think he'd find it funny.
That
yes,
thing, though,
did.
That you mentioned your old school there, and I often think with it, I bet there are people that you do absolutely brilliantly that we've got absolutely no idea who they are, like your old teachers or something like that, yeah. that you yes. love doing.
There are some, you know, some very interesting, you know, characters, you know. I don't know even know who this is. This has just appeared, you know.
Is that one of your teachers?
It's a good one. I like that. Now, Gareth Southgate is current England manager. I mean, it's, I imagine that's quite a difficult one to do, isn't it?
I'm going to have a study of him now. Yeah. You know, ahead of the World Cup, it'll be, you know, Roy Hodgson certainly gave us, you know, certainly, you know, very recognisable traits to go out and like that. Mm.
Capello, you didn't you, at one point?
Yes, it was always the, I think that the, so yes, I think that would be, yes, I, yes.
Yeah, you know, you do in all 350 voices, which is an incredible thing. And one of them is Brian Cox. And you may be interested to know that Brian Cox is not happy at the moment.
Is he?
He slammed the BBC, this is in the paper today, for cancelling the show Stargazing Live.
Wow.
Yeah, he said he wasn't happy about it at all. He said, I'm here to do Stargazing Live Australia, which isn't a great deal of use to the UK because the BBC have decided you don't want to watch Stargazing this year. Right. And I profoundly disagree with that decision. That's what
cool,
he said.
There we
well,
are.
This is a very important area of science, and we need to understand our place in the clockwork of the universe. And right now, it's Stargazing season in Australia, so we will simply do it there in a different...
All the people with odd voices. Peston has a very... I heard him interview. He really does have an odd voice, an odd way of speaking.
You wonder if he's doing an impression of the people doing impressions of him these days, really.
Yes, I think you see, you know, obviously the politicians have to be distinctive. And so to the news broadcasters, he really does sound as though his voice is on a tape recorder that's not working properly. A voice that has its own Doppler effect.
And you've added Jacob Rees-Mogg to the list, haven't you?
Yes, he's very sort of... if one starts at Brian Sewell...
Yeah, I can hear that. Yeah,
if
yeah.
one and then takes away all of the sort of avuncular charm and you're just sort of left with that kind of tone, then I think you're pretty close to where he is. I often wonder what sort of spitting image puppet Jacob Rees-Mogg would make. I'm not sure you'd have a spitting image puppet. I think you'd simply paint a face on a little clothes peg.
Yeah.
Just have it like that.
They may have done Water the Softie and have a yellow shirt and a big flower. Yeah, they may have just gone down that route from the Beano,
exactly,
I would imagine.
Exactly.
Now, Geoffrey Boycott, you probably don't get much of a chance to do him, but I've heard you do Geoffrey before. And quite...
Yes, it's one I always love listening to Rory's Geoffrey Boycott. Yeah. He's such a great cricket specialist, is Rory. And that's one of the characters he'll always go to first. Now, it's lazy cricket, is that? That's very lazy cricket. And just that sort of directness. You never ever tire of that. It sort of reminded me of William Hague, who I think would make a very excellent cricket commentator, and perhaps that will be a career he will choose in due time.
Didn't you once kind of get through number 10 doing that? And they kind of bought it, didn't they?
Well, yes. That was about 20 years ago now. I'd just learned the William Hague impression.
Yeah.
And so the idea, what to do with it? So, well, why not call Downing Street? And so I sketched out a little idea of, I will ask to speak to the Prime Minister and the switchboard will say, no, go away, stop wasting our time. And then I can say, but I'm the leader of the opposition. Am I not important enough? And so a very efficient person in the... in the switchboard area of number 10, answer the phone.
Yes, could I speak to Tony, please? It's William Hague. Oh, yes, just a moment.
Oh, no.
Whoa.
That wasn't meant to happen.
The great Mike Yarwood, though, he had a problem, didn't he, with doing women, because they would say that Thatcher kind of finished him off because he couldn't.
Really? Steve Nallen basically took it on, didn't he?
Really? Yeah, oh, yes, sure. Yeah, that's the received, you know, Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah.
Yes, is it the same with Theresa May? Is it hard for men to do?
Well, it's when we, you know, Jan Ravens, who does her brilliantly, it's wonderful to play opposite that with characters such as a Boris Johnson or a Farage or whoever it may be. It's wonderful to play opposite that. But it's interesting with Mike Yarwood, and people often suggest that, you know, was Margaret Thatcher a problem to him? It actually sort of added a new flavour to his show, really, because he brought in Janet Brown to play Margaret Thatcher, and that freed him up to play Ronald Reagan and Prince Charles and so on. Yeah. But this was around about the time when, you know, the comedy was kind of getting its Doc Martin boots on.
Mm.
We had Rick Mayall, Ed Edmondson, a very different flavour.
Yeah, there was a change.
Yeah, and I think he just felt that was his moment to step back a little.
And we were talking about people here at Talk Sport and Talk Radio, and you do Eamon Holmes, don't you, who's on between 4 and 7.
Yeah, that beautiful tone there, every single syllable of that voice, you get your money's worth there. I always say it's 7:45. This is what you're watching. This is what you're waking up to. It's 7:45. Those are the words that get you into that lovely, rich Eamon sort of tone there.
Is there one that's ever eluded you, John? Is you just think, no, I'm not going to really crack it over the years?
I think it was David Cameron.
Really?
Yeah, just sort of generic posh, you know, sometimes that hand gesture there, you could do an impersonation of him, but the audience wouldn't really care.
Just get straight on to Boris as quickly as... It's interesting, we were just talking earlier on about this rugby league documentary from 1968, and there in the front row at Wembley was Harold Wilson. You know, it kind of struck me that those guys seem to be... You had something more to sort of nail it to, those sort of voices. They were very, very distinct, the politicians of that era, weren't they? And Ted Heath and others.
Yes, utterly. Not along the lines of... You know, many politicians now can be rather homogenised, trying to keep very, you know, sort of sanitised and PC for this very fast-moving social media universe, etc., etc. But the characterful nature back then... I mean, there are some like that now, Boris being one of them.
Yeah.
Farage would be another. There's a few examples like
Gove.
That.
I mean, would you?
Certainly Michael Gove. Certainly Michael Gove, yes. If you want to do your own Michael Gove, start off with Ronnie Corbett.
Ronnie Corbett.
Take away the charm and lovability until you are left with this very sort of Machiavellian kind of tone. Govey. I bumped into a family and they listened to Dead Ringers and they said, oh, you do Michael Gove. And the father of the family turned around and he looked the image.
Oh, really?
Of Michael Gove. And he said, well, yes, thank you very much indeed. Now, thanks to those sketches, every time my children leave the house, they say, Goovy, love you, Daddy, bye. Thank you for that.
Jeremy Corbyn, finally, for me, it doesn't strike me that it's that distinctive a voice, is it? Sort of...
He sort of moves up the gears as he speaks. The earliest part of the interview will be something like this, a little bit of a scratch at the back of the throat. I say thank you for your continued support. I say thank you for continuing to vote. I say thank you for the music, the songs I'm singing. But he's getting a bit more interesting now in the sense of, you know, the sort of hello Glastonbury Corbyn. But it was a bit tricky to know what to do with him at first because, you know, he would sort of suck the life out of your comedy sketch a little bit.
That's marvellous, isn't it? And of course, Trump, you do brilliantly. We heard that last time.
This is a wonderful station. I am going to buy this station. Trump Talk Spot. It's going to be fantastic. You guys are fantastic. It's going to be so, so wonderful. Thank you very much for having me. Let's talk about baseball.
Well, John, so we can catch you on tour. As we said, you are already underway, aren't you?
And Edinburgh as well. I'm quite excited.
Oh, yeah,
Edinburgh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, the 13th to the 26th of August.
Gilded Balloon Debating Hall in Edinburgh, if you're up there. 13th to the 26th. As he said, you can catch John on tour. johncoleshaw.com.
With Bill Dare, we should mention.
That's all that we should,
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Bill, I remember from the Beeb when I worked there many years ago, was Peter Jones, his son. Peter Jones.
Yes,
brilliant.
Indeed.
Brilliant comedy actor. Billy's his son.
I was just looking up Peter Jones this morning for just fancied hearing his voice because it was an incredible voice, Peter Jones. I didn't know that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I was asked to be the voice of the book in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy live. And that wonderful voice of the book that Peter Jones did, the babelfish is yellow, and just that beautiful tone.
Brilliant, you know, brilliant.
Beautiful tone.
Lovely to see you again, John.
Thank you for having me. Great to see you.
Hawksby and Jacobs Weekly from Talk Sport.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Oh, good afternoon, Paul. And I took away from that game last night that Chelsea have been linked with Adama Traore.
Yeah.
Just don't go anywhere near him, really. No. Just don't. He's so frustrating. He's got all the pace you could possibly want. He must be the quickest player in the top two leagues. He's lightning.
He's got the pace. He needs the pass.
Oh, the decision-making. Really. It's just... Yeah. At one point, Alan Hutton, who had a brilliant two games, man-marked him the whole time. He pulled Traore back and he got a yellow card. I've seen myself... Why bother? Don't bother to foul him. Just let it's a higher percentage to let him cross it. It is.
We did say this yesterday, and I've seen a fair bit of him, and he's just one of those players. It was a great moment last night. He did a great run down the right wing, got in a good position, Borough players in the middle, and he just pings it over everybody's head straight into touch.
I know, he's brilliant.
Must drive you mad. But I think when you've got that kind of pace and power, there must be that a coach out there thinks, yeah, I can make him better. I can make the decision
making.
It's
the Mo Salah thing, isn't it? That you look at him and think, oh, you know, in 4 years' time, he might be a brilliant player.
Mo Salah was a better player than
him. I think he's a better footballer than him. Yeah, I agree with that. But he has, you know, it's the attraction of that pace. It is very attractive to coaches.
Of course it is,
Stuart Downing, I was looking at him last night.
What a free kick.
What a free kick.
Because you're watching it thinking, he won't get that up and down. He's far too close.
The bar,
there are a lot of big men in the wall, didn't they? God, what a great free kick.
He smacked the bar, didn't he? And he's had a really impressive career. I was looking it up, you know, Borough, Villa, Liverpool, West Ham, 35 England caps and everything. So, he has had a really good career. He must be delighted to be back at Borough. So I was sort of Googling him because I was just interested. You know, I've got a bit of interest in the game. And then I got very excited when I saw... very excited for Nigel Botherway.
Oh, yeah.
When I saw Stuart Downing barbel fishing, I was thinking, oh, that's good. He must have, you know, get him on a Sunday morning. No, it wasn't him.
It's a different Stuart Downing.
This works for Shakespeare, the Rod people.
Oh, not Stuart. Craig Shakespeare.
No, called Stuart Downing.
Yeah.
And Mike Dean, once again.
It was a mad decision.
What a mad decision. Honestly,
Graham
Paul
said to us on Monday that, you know, we'd love to have referees having press conferences and maybe telling us what they thought and why they made a decision, but I don't think he could explain that, could he? I mean, people keep saying, oh, well, there was covering defenders. A, that doesn't matter. And B, he's only able to cover John Terry because Johnson takes the sting out of it. Otherwise, it's going to go in.
It had to be a red card there. Right. It wouldn't have made that much difference, I don't think.
Probably not. Even Tony Pulis said that.
Yeah, yeah.
But they did have a pretty strong 2 or 3 minutes. And after all the upset of losing their keeper, it could have made a difference. We don't know, do we?
Now, New England bowler Dom Bess, of course, David English, very, very happy because he's the 90th Bunbury to play for England, which is a great achievement for David and a great achievement for Dom himself. And he found out he'd been selected in IKEA. Mm. Did you read that?
Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, he's with the former Lancashire off-spinner, Flatpak Simmons.
Oh,
come on.
That's not bad.
That is good.
That's not
bad. If you know your old cricketers.
Yeah,
you've
got
to know. You really have got to know. I haven't got a clue.
What the heck's he on about? Yeah, that's very true. So, yeah, well, that's very good, Andy. Have you got anything else? Have you got anything else for us? I
probably have.
Something I've noticed as well towards the end of the season. It's not necessarily a criticism. It's just an observation. Is that who would you say is the most high profile mascot in the Premier League? If you think of a mascot, I mean, is there one?
Gunnosaurus.
Well, yeah, in terms of kind of, he's been around a long time. He's a bit like Arsene Wenger for sort of longevity.
Why has he been replaced?
They might do that. I don't know. Terry the Terrier at Huddersfield.
Terry the Terrier?
He's always in the shot. You noticed him? He's always, if there's a goal scorer.
I haven't seen him.
Terry's
I've never heard of him.
Terry's the first one. You've never really?
I've never seen him. I've never heard of him.
I think once or twice he's been called in by the commercial department and said, we love what you're doing, Terry, but you're a bit busy, mate. Try to be slightly less busy.
He wasn't playing at the bridge, was he? He wasn't lying in front of the goal.
He's often got his arm round the coach, or he's there cuddling the players, or he's lying on the pitch if he's a bit boring.
I like Terry the Terrier.
Who's that you're doing there? That's very good. But, I mean, he's great, but he's very high profile.
Wow. I've never seen him.
I hope the management want that, because I wouldn't want Terry to be downcast after a chat with the chairman. Really, that wouldn't be good.
No, it wouldn't be Terry. Idea. So he got a bit of a telling off, didn't
he? No, he didn't at all.
Oh, no.
Don't start saying that. They said, in your bed, on your rug. Dirty boy, bad boy. But no, he's just... every time I see a shot or of a goal with the Huddersfield players, I expect to see the players, but suddenly there's a
7'3" dog in there as well, and another Sfield kid.
I'll look him up in a minute in the break.
Yeah.
I love this reaction in the Star today too. It's what I call a classic reaction to fake news. So a fake news story comes out.
Yeah.
There's just nothing to it whatsoever. And then people react to it. So here's the Star story today. Maurizio Pochettino is ready to snub Chelsea's advances to stay loyal to Tottenham.
Yeah.
He never wasn't. The Blues want the Argentine. How do you know? Honestly, it's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah. Nigel Adley, our England correspondent, he's awaiting the England squad, but he did enjoy Flat Pat Simmons.
Oh, good.
And he what about Harry drilling, he says? a very small bit. That's right. Thank you very much for that, Nigel. Chat to you later.
Nigel.
Yeah, the England squad. Yeah. Nigel's our England correspondent. He'll be in the England camp throughout the World Cup. And we'll get the squad for you a little bit later on. And bring that to you. And David Moyes not getting a new contract at West Ham, so we'll get Tony's thoughts on that.
I think Everton didn't want Allardyce, but I'm surprised that West Ham didn't want Moyes. I think they both did a decent job, but you just wonder where West Ham are going and what direction they're going to go.
Well, they want to go in a different direction, as you've heard from one of the Davids. We want to go in preferably up the table.
Yeah,
that's the direction they want to go.
That'd be ideal, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And Monty Panesar, of course. I don't think he's... Is he playing now, Monty? I don't know if he's still probably...
He's playing a bit, isn't he?
But he's in Celebrity MasterChef.
Yeah.
But they've got him sort of doing a... He's got an egg in his hand, but he's like about to bowl it. Have you seen? He's got like a kind of...
Has he got a mystery way to bowl it?
No, he just bowls the egg the same way.
Exactly. Bowls the egg the same way, yeah.
he won't like that.
Just sent the gym off air before. Really, Sam Allardyce and David Moyes, in terms of sort of fans, they're the two least loved managers, aren't they? They come into your club... And they keep you up. You think, oh, God, yeah, them two. They come in, they keep you up, they do the job they're asked to do, and they go, and everybody's getting the champagne out from, you know, I don't want them there. So
it's partly the personality. Although I think they're different personalities, aren't they?
We don't know them personally, Andy, do we?
No, you only know them personally. Of course not, but you're judging them. I'm talking about their persona.
I'm talking about fans as a body of those clubs that they manage, generally, not always.
They don't like the football, do they? That's the thing, you know. Yeah. They want to be entertained. I mean, that famous thing, people want to be entertained. Yeah.
But you wouldn't bank against both of them being back in work in December, doing exactly the same sort of Red Adair act.
Oh, no, absolutely, yeah.
Listen to the Hawksby and Jacobs Show live every Monday to Friday afternoon from 1, broadcasting across the UK on DAB Digital Radio, online at TalkSport.com or via the TalkSport app.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm just different players and different people have been talking about Arsene Wenger and experiences, and journalists were talking about their experiences. And little facts have emerged about Arsene Wenger and things that have happened in his life. And the Times told us at the weekend on Saturday, apparently on one trip to Beijing, Arsene Wenger was asked to have a go at karaoke with Jackie Chan.
Really?
When you're paid to see that. But he politely declined. I just wonder what they would have sung.
And talking of Arsenal, it looks like Josh Kroenke, son of the owner Stan, will have increased involvement at the club. Some of the club, the Mail on Sunday suggests they believe that the 38 son, 38-year-old son of owner Stan Kroenke, will soon be appointed chairman, replacing 78-year-old Sir Chips Keswick.
Wow.
So Sir Chips has had his chips.
I find that hard to believe. Well, really? Going to replace him, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, he is 78.
Well, is that through choice? I mean, he's been ousted.
Well, I suppose he will be ousted.
I wonder if he'll go off and do a bit of karaoke with Jackie Chan. I can't see Sir Chips doing that, really, no. Can't you? Yeah, amazing.
Well, he'd probably have some honorary position, I'd imagine.
Did you see the good people at Football Leaks were back at it again the other day, telling us what everybody earns? I'm sure you would have been delighted after what you said last Wednesday about Alvaro Morata.
Yeah.
That he got an £830,000 bonus payment after he played in that Huddersfield game last week.
Really?
£830,000. In his Chelsea contract, Morata was given the incentive, the additional payout, if he started half of all Blues matches. So for that game in which you said he had a P for a heart, he got £830,000 for playing
what
in that
tremendous
match.
Value for money from Chelsea's point of view. Really sensational.
Honestly, the only thing about Football Leagues, obviously the players and the game aren't particularly keen, but it's interesting to see the way deals are structured at times. You know, they are very, very convoluted. And players expecting all sorts of bonuses for not very much at all. For what most people would think in the real world was just doing your job.
Well, that's the thing. I mean,
yeah. If you turn up to work for 6 months of the year, if you turn up to work for half of the year, you might have been in a few days or, you know, like they'd be injured. And then someone gives you a massive bonus just for turning up.
Just for doing half the shows I'm contracted to do.
Yeah.
It's true.
I mean, it's just...
It's ridiculous, isn't it? It's bonkers. Anyway, that's modern-day football.
Yeah.
You see the speaker, John Burke, has been a lot of, sort of under a lot of pressure, a lot of accusations. He's all denied them all and everything like that. But now there's even more pressure on that he must quit within weeks. And I'm thinking to myself, he's not going to go before Wimbledon. He had 16,500 of tickets last year off the BBC. He's not going to Wimbledon. He's not going before Wimbledon.
You think he'll stick it out?
He likes
then.
A bit of Wimbledon, I think you'll find.
Now, did you read any of the stuff? Saturday Times magazine had an interview with Rio Ferdinand. Well done to him, of course.
Oh, yes.
BAFTA winner for his excellent documentary. But he was brutally honest about his time with England. And it was amazing stuff, a real insight into what went wrong. And he basically admitted that the infighting, really, amongst the big clubs and the attitudes of some of the big players killed England. Mm. He said the England team, that generation was killed. It overshadowed things. One year we'd been fighting Liverpool to win the league. Another year it would be Chelsea. I considered the Premier League to be my title. So I was never going to walk into the England dressing room or the canteen and open up to Frank Lampard, to Ashley Cole, John Terry, Joe Cole at Chelsea, Stephen Gerrard or Jamie Carragher at Liverpool. I wouldn't open up because of the fear that they would then take something back to their club and use it against us to make them better than us.
Yes, yeah, so if you sort of revealed things that had gone on.
This
or
worries me, that worries me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's right there. Rio says this, Rio says that. Maybe we can sort of play on that next time we play United. I didn't really want to engage with them in that sense. So it goes back to what everybody thought at the time, that there was just too many kind of cliques and factions in that setup with England at the time.
No.
I think one of the things that Gareth Southgate's been trying to do is to break all that down. But I don't think it's quite as intense as it was. But it's a horrible thought, isn't it? You know, we bought into this whole golden generation thing and we knew we had a really special group of players. And you can only think that those other players that he's mentioned there, you know, because they were big, fierce competitors, probably had the same attitude. And it affected the national team, didn't it? But I mean, you know, does that... I don't quite know what you can do about something like that.
Well, I don't think... I think do what Gareth's doing, which is try and avoid it and try and get a better spirit.
You've got to do what Don Revie did. Carpet bowls for all the boys.
Yeah. No, I think...
Either watching Wayne Rooney's wedding video or carpet bowls. They're the only way you're ever going to win a World Cup again.
If Southgate gets it right psychologically, England can fulfil themselves and get to the sort of, you know, the last eight, that sort of thing. And you never know what happens when you get to that point. If they have the usual problems of boredom and all that stuff, then it's, you know, it won't be any good. Do you see that Karen Brady, some people have been on social media, there's people urging for her to end her son column.
Oh, yeah.
And in a way, I can see what they mean, because some of the stuff that she writes is quite staggering. She said here... she's talking about the London Stadium.
This was on Saturday, wasn't it?
Yes, we've had some problems at the London Stadium, caused to a degree by the terms of our lease. Oh, yes, not your fault or anything. We're taking it, but also by malcontents and keyboard warriors. So, once again, nothing to do with us.
Yeah.
A satisfying year, then. You think, on what basis? You've got a funny idea of what a satisfying year is.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
It's true. It's a bit of a shocker.
Subscribe to the Hawksby and Jacobs weekly podcast today and get all the highlights of the week delivered direct to you every Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Good afternoon, it's Paul Hawksby and Big Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. He wants to be known as Big Andy from
Big
now
Andy,
on, Martin,
brilliant.
Because we know a guy called Tiny, and we saw him last night at the Football Writers, and Tiny's about 6 foot seven. So, yeah. But Andy thinks he wants to be
called... Well, small people are never called big. Big people are always called tiny, but it's never works
the
other
way
around.
That's true, actually, yeah. It's sort of British understatement, isn't it? It's satire. It's what passes for satire.
It would still be satire if I was called big, because I'm obviously not big.
Yeah, of course it would. I mean, if you're in the army...
Big man.
If you're in the army, God help us. But you would be known as Big Andy, wouldn't you?
Yeah, now, before we get on to what you've watched this week,
I
want to ask you about a programme that's going to appear tomorrow on BBC. It's a documentary, a rugby league documentary, on Don Fox. Do you know about this?
Yes, well, I know Don Fox.
I know the story.
Yeah, I know the story of Don Fox. Poor lad.
This was Eddie Waring commentary in rugby league. He missed an absolute sitter in the Challenge Cup final, didn't he?
Well, he did miss an absolute sitter, but it was absolutely... It's called the Water Splash Final because they were playing on...
He couldn't dry the ball, I heard.
It was impossible. It was ridiculous that it was even played. You know, it was in the days when Wembley used to... You know, they had the horse show scheduled and they'd do the horse show and then you do the rugby league and then they'd say, go and play on that surface. I mean, it was a terrible surface sometimes. I mean, they always used to say, oh, the smooth grass of Wembley, but it wasn't always. And this was... Because he'd been throwing it down for about 3 days. He needed to score. It was a two-point conversion. He just needed to score the conversion. Mm. And that was it. And he missed it. And it did affect his whole life. I mean, he did lapse into depression, I believe, after that. And he was a member of a famous rugby league family, Peter Fox and Neil Fox. Neil Fox was a fantastic player. Don Fox, not as good as Neil, I don't think. But I don't know about the documentary.
It's a great story
to watch. And Wakefield Trinity is a brilliant story anyway. You know,
I think they're playing tomorrow, aren't they? I think it's Wakefield against Leeds or something like that.
Possibly is. Yeah, yeah. I'm following it. Now, but I'll tell you what.
Very quickly, Jimmy White, Andy Goldstein tells me, has a pal that is quite large, understatement he says, and he's called Salad.
Salad.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Not Mo Salad.
No.
Cheers, Andy. There we are. So, Martin, take it away.
Well, I've been very much enjoying watching Stoke and West Brom going down because it's that, you know, only in the... I've nothing against Stoke or West Brom, but just in the sense that it's not West Ham. So, obviously, I watched the Stoke Crystal Palace match.
Yep.
Now, as we all know, when a team is relegated, and that confirms Stoke's relegation last Saturday lunchtime, when a team's relegated, the money shot, the shot that the cameraman wants, is somebody in a deserted stadium near the end in tears.
Yeah.
That's what they're looking for. Mm. Preferably a grown man. It's a better shot, isn't it?
It's a grown man leaning on
his girlfriend, that sort of thing, crying and she's red-eyed, she's trying to console him and all that.
Yeah. You see the one of me on Wednesday at Chelsea?
Yeah, Andy crying.
a shot of Andy crying, that's what everybody wants to see. Yeah, he's so cute when he cries. But, you know, that's the shot they're looking for. And interestingly, at Stoke against Christmas, they couldn't find that shot. No. The cameramen were around, they couldn't. And I think it's because people from the Potteries are battle-hardened. You know, the people from the Potteries, you know, they've just... Zaya Wedgwood. Was he there? He wasn't there, actually.
He couldn't get a ticket.
Even Josiah Wedgwood couldn't get a ticket.
He used to burst into tears if anybody dropped one of his pots.
Precisely. Yeah. But, you know, they're made of sterner stuff in the Potteries, was my conclusion.
They did find a kid, didn't they?
They found a kid.
No one wants to see kids crying, though. That's not nice. No.
That's not. A kid crying is not a good shot.
No.
It was a bit better at Swansea versus Southampton, where there was a couple more. But you see, the Welsh are more emotional than the... got the wrong tea order here.
Yeah, you got the wrong tea order. That's become Andy's.
I've got the Japanese. Paul's on the peppermint. Thank you,
Ross.
What peppermint?
Hey, Paul's on the peppermint.
On the peppermint tea.
I'm on the Genmaicha.
Sweet that I'm trying to shift or something.
Your body's a temple, isn't it?
Like Alan's. I'm going to get on the old fermented. Go on, carry on.
They had more luck there. But the best programme of the week was a 15-minute show on Sky.
Oh, yeah.
Sky Cricket Channel. Atherton's BFI cricket on film. Anybody seen that?
No, sounds
good. Oh, you must watch it. It's fantastic. I watched the BFI, who have got this project.
The British Film Institute, of course.
Film Institute. They've got this project called Britain on Film, right? So it's, I mean, I could watch anything. I could watch loads of archive. I just like seeing footage of London with no yellow lines.
Yeah.
I love watching old footage. Well, basically, they've split this Britain on Film, which is, they've done a fantastic restoration job, bits of home. home movies that they've got from people's attics, and they've divided it into different sections, and one is cricket on film. So others went along to meet the main archive guy at the BFI, who was brilliant. They were talking about how acetate, you know, what the film is. I think it's acetate.
Film stock.
How flammable it is. And Atherton said, like Cinema Paradiso, what just went straight up. And I thought, it's rare you get a sportsman making a reference.
What was that? Perry Grove's talking about David Mamet. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? What a day we've had. It's like front row, whatever that is.
Whatever that is, indeed. But anyway, so there were, some of this film is being... There's a film store at in Warwickshire where they freeze the film at -5 degrees Celsius, I think, but -5 degrees. They freeze the film, and you can get a chalk ice there as well. But it's great footage. It's great footage to watch. And the first cricket footage, which was remarkably good, was from 1897, which was just 2 years after the invention of the moving image. 2 years.
Wow, somebody come up with some great W.G. Gray stuff.
Oh, real stuff, fantastic.
How did he make any runs? He's rubbish.
Well, yeah.
087172. Was he all that, W.G. Gray?
He wasn't. He was absolutely stiff as a board. He would have been hopeless these days.
Well, you say that. You see, the footage had was of Prince What was he say there?
Playing the IPL
in those clothes. Imagine the look on his face when they handed him that garish red shirt or something.
Yeah. Mumbai Indians with the gold
on it. Yeah.
Anyway, this footage, the first image of cricket, was of Prince Ranjit Singhji. Yeah. Did you ever see him play, Andy?
I know a lot about him, because he was a mate of C.B. Fry. He gets mentioned a lot in C.B. Fry's excellent book. Yeah. Well, I love C.B. Fry.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Prince Ranjit Singhji, there was a film of him batting at the nets with what others describe as a wafer-thin bat. Bats were very thin in those days. But Atherton actually placed the cameraman. He said, well, the cameraman's obviously there at silly mid-off, because, you know, that was the angle they had.
If you watch Pathé News, for example, that you'll see, and they'll say, and Bedser came in from the pavilion end, and you see him running in, and then you see like a real close-up of the batsman that they couldn't possibly have got at the time, which they sort of cut in, and then you say, and he bowled him, and you just see the bloke walking back to the pavilion. They never actually got the angle.
Actually quite terrible cameramen in the 30s, weren't they? Yeah. 40s.
But the really old footage... You know, that wasn't available to him. They just stood there with the camera at silly mid-off and filmed Prince Ranjit Singhji. But they had some brilliant footage. There was an Accrington match from the Lancashire League, 1902, where virtually every member of the crowd were in straw boaters. Wow. And some of them were in top hats and tails, you know, as if it was...
Bumble was there, wasn't he?
Ascot. There was footage of Bumble from the 1970s, 71, trying out a helmet. Because 71, they must have been talking at that point about helmets.
When the wind were in full flow, that, you know.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah. So you had Bumble trying on a lacrosse helmet, and very amusingly, others said he'll never get his nose in there. But it's great. There was a Look at Life, a 1965, and this is just in a quarter of an hour, and they've got 100, they've got at least 100 of these clips of cricket through the ages, and you can see them online.
There's a football version as well.
There's football on film. If you want to see this stuff, I mean, people will, because it's just fantastic stuff. There's some great footage of Lord Gower being ferried to Lourdes in a taxi, in a black cab. You see him getting out, and it was a training film, interestingly, for the NatWest, because the NatWest were obviously sponsoring the trophy at the time.
That's right, yeah.
So they used Gower in the training film, and it shows him getting his money out of his pocket, which, according to, and I'm only quoting others here, that's a rare shot.
Yeah, of course.
With his hand in his pocket. But, there's a bit of Alec Bedser.
And so you can just download this on the Sky
Plus. It's on BFI.org. If you want the programme, it's Catch Up on Sky.
Okay, Catch Up on Sky, yeah.
But if you want any more of the footage that they've got, they've got hundreds of them, BFI.org. hawksbeeandjacobs.co.uk.
Fantastic.
And it's well worth it. And it's got Alex Betzer's home movie footage, which he shot on the 1954 tour, which was the first time they won the Ashes in Australia. Mm. You know, that was according to, I'm not a huge cricket fan, but according to others, that was a classic team in 54.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, good time.
And it's great because he picks out the, you know, you see the footage and you, oh, it's Ken Barrington. And he, you know, he picks out who all the players are.
Brilliant. Well, we're definitely going to go and check that out.
Check out the programme.
And what else did you watch the boxing this week?
I watched the boxing documentary. Actually.
Oh, okay, right, the boxing documentary.
I hear it, well, the thing about boxing is I hear it all here on Talk Sport.
Of course, you're here overnight, aren't you?
I'm sitting here waiting to do the overnight show, so I hear all this, sort of the huge excitement about the boxing. So
what was the boxing documentary?
Well, it was one done by, it was a meeting, going back to Wembley, of Vitali Klitschko and
Andy Joshua.
Joshua. It's a good programme. It was Goalhanger Films, so it was another Harry Lineker productions.
Tony and the guys, they do good work. Yeah.
They do good work, and you couldn't get two more articulate spokesmen for boxing than Klitschko and Joshua. Mm. So it was just it was basically a talk about what goes through a boxer's mind and how they cope with all that. I wondered why it was on. I couldn't see there was got to be a reason that it was on particularly.
Yeah, I think it's going, you know, the documentary, they did the documentary in the build up to the fight. So I suppose it was going back afterwards. Don't you remember they made a documentary when Anthony Joshua went back to his old gym and gave a car to his old trainer, and then they talked about the build up.
Because I thought to myself, maybe it's a tribute to the Eurovision Song Contest, because that was in Ukraine. It was in Kiev for last year.
Right.
And Vitali Klitschko's Ukrainian. But even for the BBC, that's a bit of a tenuous link.
It is a little bit, yeah. I just think people like watching Anthony Joshua, and a good sports documentary, I think, do quite well on TV at the moment.
Yeah, although it was on fairly late, 10:45, but it was Never Run After a Hurt Man, Never Run After a Hurt Fighter, He's Dangerous, which was advice Klitschko. It was sort of like Klitschko almost giving advice, even though Joshua won the fight.
He was passing on the baton.
Yeah, it was very much a passing on the baton thing. Good. And it was a really good... he described the uppercut, the very good uppercut that Joshua sort of caught him with. He said, I wasn't expecting that. So sneaky. Sneaky.
Andy Joshua said the other day, he's an amazing guy. He said he speaks 50 languages. I thought...
That was in the documentary.
50?
No. He speaks Arabic and he speaks English, obviously.
It's pretty good.
He speaks half a dozen languages, possibly.
His Ukrainian's not bad.
His Ukrainian's great.
And get by.
We have to move on.
Listen to the Hawksby and Jacobs Show live every Monday to Friday afternoon from 1. Broadcasting across the UK on DAB Digital Radio. Online at TalkSport.com or via the TalkSport app.
You've been telling us your stories of how you've stitched up opposition fans, Andy. Just remind us of the one, that little story from Portugal.
Yes, it was Lisbon cabbie Victor Conceição. He claims he was fined £100 for wearing a Sporting Lisbon football shirt by a Benfica supporting cop.
Yeah, you do get opportunities sometimes in life to stick it to opposition fans. Window cleaners, it's another bit of a thing about it.
Yeah, go on.
David, the Rangers fan, said, I clean windows in a street in Glasgow. There's one house I clean windows. When I'm cleaning windows, that's it. I clean windows in a street in Glasgow. There's one house where the owner, who's a Celtic fan, has the crest on his gates. He gets charged double what the rest of the street do.
You don't realise the fella.
I'm a Liverpool fan and window cleaner. I have two sets of prices, one for Manchester United fans and one for normal customers, says Brownie in Torquay. So,
that's good.
So there we are. That's the sort of thing that's going on. So tell us your stories this afternoon. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TS H&J.
Torquay, our producer told me in the break that he's just been sponsored by a local, not sponsored, followed on Twitter.
Slightly different. He's got his own sponsor, personal sponsor. Yeah,
he's got the badge.
Yeah.
No, by Saunders and Lingard. They're a local firm.
Really?
But obviously, Dean Saunders and... fucking Jesse Lingard. Exactly.
Well, that was close. Okay, yeah, Jesse Lingard,
I can't remember his name there for some reason. Okay, Anders Lingard. That's ridiculous.
So they've become estate agents in Torquay, haven't they?
They have, yeah.
I think Dean would have told us, wouldn't he?
He'd be saying that to Alan at some point, wouldn't he?
Trying to sell Alan a house in Torquay.
Do you ever have a problem?
No, I don't.
Getting your trainers on? I don't. I've never had a problem getting my trainers on. I mean, occasionally it's that you might have to open them a little bit more than you might have to work your foot into them. But Nike, no, I'm telling you, seriously.
This is a big problem.
Nike are developing an internal treadmill for trainers to make them easy to get on. So the inside the sole will be a kind of like a treadmill. So when you put your foot in,
it moves.
It'll slide
and
into,
your foot just slides into the shoe.
Who knew?
That won't come cheap, will it?
I don't know. I've never had a problem.
What happens if you're walking along and it goes off? You just fall over. You just fall forward, will you?
That's not as bad as the one yesterday, where this really is a sign of the apocalypse. This is you go training with your personal trainer.
Oh, yeah.
And he wears a vest. And on the back of his vest is a screen. So you go for a run, and you can watch like Game of Thrones box set if you go for a long run.
Right, okay, yeah, yeah.
That's ridiculous, isn't
it? Do the marathon, you could probably get for a whole season of something, couldn't you?
I know. It's wrong, though, isn't it? That's, you know, you don't want to be doing that. I don't think it's right.
Is this because people are so used to having, if they go to the gym, they have a TV in front of them, they watch stuff on the telly, so they're so used to, they attribute exercise with watching the telly, is that right?
Well, that's what people like to exercise, because it takes their mind off it. It's off-road, because obviously if you were on the road, it'd be a bit dangerous.
Yeah, it might be. If you're on a crossing, you're watching Game of Thrones.
And it's the David Lloyd Club. Personal trainers for David Lloyd Clubs are to wear screens on their backs for customers to watch as they run. People will be able to choose a show from Netflix, iPlayer, Now TV or Amazon Prime. Yeah. Trainer will map out an off-road route tailored to the client's running pace and the length of episode of their chosen show. It's bonkers, isn't
well,
it?
I suppose the other flip side of that is anything that gets people out exercising has got to be a good thing. If you've got to entice them out with a bit of telly,
there's something.
At least they're doing some exercise.
I tend to listen to TalkSport when I go for a run in the morning. Yeah. So I like listening to Alan and the newspaper thing. But sometimes it's just running without anything is quite a good thing.
You like that, do you? Just looking around you.
Yeah,
bit of mindfulness,
it, yeah,
is it? Taking it all in, Andy.
Yeah, sure.
Do you do that now and again?
Well, I do it now and again.
Not very often.
Not very often.
No, that's right.
I'm a big fan of the breakfast.
Normally got Alan going, morning!
That's why I like
that. Point, yeah. this comes from Ryan. He says, I'm an Arsenal supporting painter and decorator, and I once painted a Spurs fan's front room. Under some filler, I filled a fairly sizable hole with an Arsenal key ring, and it's now forever embedded in his wall.
That's nice.
So, yeah, these are the little victories out there from fans sticking it to the opposition. Being a handyman and Spurs fan, a mate of mine asked me to pressure wash his patio. After a day of abuse, I pressure washed Spurs forever into his patio, and he paid me without checking. Fantastic. I haven't been asked to do it since. Top work. Thank you very much for that one.
This is a classic here from Dayan Lovren of Liverpool.
He's Handyman Hardy, calls himself.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He's aimed a dig at Liverpool's rivals by claiming money cannot buy you success. He says, Lovren 28 said, they're a team spending a lot of money, but it's not about money. It's about your teammates. You mean your teammate that cost 75 million that's made you look a lot better? Honestly, these blokes are unbelievable, aren't they?
Yeah.
Brilliant quote that.
Anything else? Have we got anything else for you at the moment, Andy?
Oh, yeah, I've always got... I've got
short man syndrome. You want to know about that?
Oh, well, I think I know about short man syndrome.
Well, this is... Short man syndrome really does exist.
Yeah,
researchers say. They found smaller blokes were more aggressive in money-sharing tests as long as there were no repercussions.
Yeah.
But when threatened with fallout, their aggression levels were the same as taller men. The scientists in Holland's... a university in Holland,
said that's a ridiculous survey. Of course, yeah, you're as a small man, you're quite aggressive when things are going. And then when it turns ugly and it looks like a big bloke's going to thump you, yes, not surprising that the small bloke becomes less aggressive at that point.
Well, that's what they're doing in Holland at the moment. Here's a quick
T20 birthday spread for you.
Okay,
I like this one.
T20 birthday.
T20. This is the shortened version of the much loved game. I don't know who loved it, but anyway, much loved game. Game that we used to play every day.
Oh, yeah.
And
you loved it anyway.
Well, I did, yeah. Well, I didn't actually, because I had to write it every day. It was terrible. It was really difficult.
Okay.
Anyway, it's much easier coming up with one. And it is, it's Professor Chris Ham, Chief Executive of the King's Fund. I don't know exactly what that is.
Okay.
Professor Chris Ham.
Well,
yeah, he's just sold his house, actually, his family home, for quite a lot of money, and he's just renting a government one for ridiculously low rent, but he's not happy with any of the fittings in there. Yeah. He's moaning like mad.
Is that right?
Yeah, Chris Ham.
Chris.
Might get the idea there.
Chris Ham. Okay.
John's looking so confused.
Actually, I'm a bit confused.
West Ham.
Oh, West Ham. Oh, okay.
Sold his house, the family house.
Oh, yeah, Chris.
Living in a government one for less money. Not happy with it.
See, if his name was Wes Ham.
Wes Ham, he should have been.
If he was Wesley Ham.
If only it was.
Chris Ham, I think a lot of us, we were all looking at each other, the listeners.
I'm so sorry. Dear Chris, would you mind changing your name to Wes for this time next year?
Only cost 35 so I can make that quid on Dean work. Poll, that's right. Can you call yourself Wes? 71.
Oh, 67. I would say how much I only wanted to do the game.
Yeah,
you
just wanted to do the game.
I'm quite disappointed, though. I'm quite worried, actually. The son's £9 holidays, you know, the one you always wanted me to go
I've always wanted you to go on one. I want to film it for a documentary.
I know, they've gone up to 15 quid. They're a bit pricey for me now.
Well, it's priced you out of the market, has it now?
So. I'd like, I think I'd probably
going to want
enjoy
Sandy
it.
Lane for 15 quid, aren't you?
Why not?
If I was going to open a caravan site, I would call one Sandy Lane, definitely. It would be great. Wouldn't it be very tempting?
Yeah, it would be tempting.
Now, Anon says, I'm in the building trade, and if I supply goods to a builder wearing any of the South London clobber, they are subject to a 10% AFC tax. Right, you're a South London club, goodness sake.
Hawksby and Jacobs Weekly from Talk Sport.
And then in Neighbours, there was a bit of sport involved. Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, three Leeds Rugby League players were at the bar at Lasseter's.
Wow.
Ryan Hall, Callum Watkins and Stevie Ward.
Right.
It was a bit of a strange one, really, because Paul Robinson went in, golly, look at these blokes from Leeds Rugby League Club.
So he recognised them, did he?
Yeah, he sort of recognised me. Would you? And then he sort of he said, oh, I'm a big fan of you. I'd love to sponsor you. So, you know, that was it. That
they should
the
have got Steve on. Should have flown him in from Brisbane, shouldn't they? And got Steve on with him. That would have been good.
It would have been good, yeah. Mm. And blueberries apparently improve your short-term memory. Well, I eat them every day, and I can tell you they don't work.
Well,
doesn't work
funny you should say that, because I've heard blueberries improve your short-term memory. And so you take that on board.
Talking of that, I do hope Richard...
And what's more, blueberry... No, that's all right, we'll leave
I
it.
I do hope Richard Foster, author of the playoff book, wasn't listening yesterday during Don't Ask Me. I did feel quite bad last night.
Yeah.
How many times have we interviewed him? I couldn't remember.
He comes
his
in
name.
Every year. Somebody comes on twice a year. And you called him
brilliant.
David what? You called him, I can't remember.
David
what
Weatherall.
David Weatherall, you called him, which is
former lead centre
completely different. That's
and
right.
Pope Francis.
Is he coming in?
No, not really. Pope Francis.
That's quite a booking, isn't it? I mean, you know. I mean, they do get some good names now and again, but that would be pushing.
That would be a
it,
good booking, really. Yeah. Jim, be good for Jim. You know, if you got him with Bob Mills and Pope Francis.
That
one,
yeah, what a lineup. That would be great. That extra, that standing Mickey Gray down him. He wouldn't be pleased, though, would he? Sorry, Mick, we've got Pope Francis. Well, that's not good enough.
Yeah. Anyway, the Pope, 81, has sold his other Pope mobile. It's a 200 mile.
He doesn't personally sell them. He doesn't put them on
I don't know.
An auto trader, does he?
Lamborghini Huracan, 615 grand Lamborghini.
Why would he have a car called Huracan when he's a San Lorenzo
exactly.
fan? It's not good, is it?
No. The Lamborghini, 615 grand. I was thinking, is that Nick Pope? Surely the Pope hasn't got a 615 grand car. I know he's...
Does it come? Is it company car? Does it come with a job? Because people think it's just that the bulletproof thing, which is very tall, isn't it? It looks like an ice cream van
that
he waves from. Yeah. But they don't tell you about the Lamborghini it comes with, does it?
It doesn't, though.
No.
And Leo DiCaprio, the actor, not the plumber.
Not the plumber, yeah.
Leonardo DiCaprio. He has a tattoo. He had a sort of wager. Yeah. Oh, no, Tom Hardy has the tattoo.
Oh, okay,
right.
Tom Hardy
Sorry,
has
Tom
the
Hardy
tattoo.
Has the
where
tattoo.
Does Leo DiCaprio fit in all this?
Well, because they had a bet about the Oscars, and Tom lost. And so he had a tattoo that says, Leo knows all.
Right.
I'm having a Neil Ashton one done if he goes to...
Yeah, you're
going
to have that
goes
done.
To Chelsea.
So, you heard it first. Potch goes to Chelsea. Andy is having the Neil Ashton knows all with Neil's face on it, on the top of his arm.
I'm probably going right. to have to.
Well, you know, I've heard madder things, but not many. I find it unlikely.
I can't see it. I can't. You know, first of all, I just don't think he'd want to go there. I mean, why would he want to go to Chelsea? He's got a great gig. You know, I think all this chat is just about putting pressure, is my view, on putting pressure on Daniel Levy, basically.
You seem to think he hasn't got people, Andy.
They've all got people.
He hasn't got people.
There's no agents. It doesn't matter. He's not got people.
I do not think, wherever this is coming from, I do not think Maurizio Pochettino is briefing the national press.
He's a very smart
to
cookie,
put pressure.
Right? He's a very smart bloke, and he knows if he says things like the things he said about Tottenham, it might not be me. Yeah. It could be me, but it might not be me. And all this stuff that he's doing, he's not stupid. He knows that is designed to put pressure on Daniel Levy to do the transfer business quickly, get the players sold that he wants sold, get in the new players and renew
but
the
can
challenge.
You honestly see him on the, like, Sunday night, he gets back and he thinks, oh, I'll make a few phone calls to Fleet Street. Can you see that going on?
No,
seriously?
You don't have to do that, though, can you? You can just say, well, you know, a lot of the clubs are interested in me. I've had, you know, Chelsea is sort of interested in me.
I think, well...
I wouldn't say that... No. I'd imagine Chelsea would be interested.
I think from what he said on Sunday, obviously, you can look at that and put two and two together and make whatever you like. So I think... It's just moved on. I mean, of course Chelsea would be interested in. Why wouldn't they be?
No, of course
he's been very successful on a budget, and he likes to play young players.
Yes, it's perfect for Chelsea, but they've got to find their own one. They've got to find their own Pochettino, not nick somebody else's Pochettino, which is never going to work.
Football works, though, is it really?
No, but it's weak.
The Southampton fans poor, sitting there really thinking, yeah, Liverpool. Yeah, what Andy said.
Yeah. I'm hiring the TalkSport bus.
Are you?
Yes, to celebrate my win in the Fools Panel.
Oh, congratulations. You won the Fools Panel by 1 point, didn't you, Andy?
That's right. I'm going to drive
from,
around.
Was that from the celebrities?
Central London.
Was that
yes,
from the celebrities?
I beat the celebs.
Well, we've organised an open-top bus, and the great thing about it is you're going to get a tour of Central London with a guide when you go on it as well. And you may have to share it with a few Italian and Japanese tourists. That's the only thing. But many congratulations to Andy Jacobs, the winner of the Fools Panel. Second was the celebs. I was mid-table mediocrity, third. Yeah. TalkSport listeners, fourth. And a sad day for the pros. We finished rock bottom, didn't they? Rock bottom.
Rock bottom. Is
rock
good,
bottom
is
of the table.
I've got very good. Have you seen all this controversy about Frei Bentos tin pies, that people can't open them?
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, there's been a big thing about it. Now people are, there was an article yesterday in the paper, now people are writing to the papers. But I love this one from Peter Gale. It's a waste of ink to the sun. He said, how can anyone struggle to open a Frei Bentos pie? Just do as my 47-year-old son did. He came home one night, the worst for wear, put it straight in the oven, fell asleep, and boom, the lid came off along with the cooker door and painted the ceiling with steak and kidney pie. 47, the bloke.
47-year-old son. Why is he still living at home? You've got to stand on your own 2 feet at some time. That bloke's son.
It's a good story.
So anyway... Yeah. He's got in his last year at university. That's what it is. Yeah. Once he's finished that last year, he's off. So something else that passed me by, apart from Frei Bentos and their exploding pies. Or they're not exploding, if you're from Frei Bentos. Not what this one did, but the bloke cooked it wrong. I don't want to be sued by Frei Bentos. Not allowed to go back or
it's in
go
Uruguay,
to Argentina.
Frei Bentos.
Uruguay.
Brentos?
Frei Brentos.
Frei Brentos. Frei Bentos is a place.
I know
in
it is,
Uruguay.
Yeah. Okay.
Subscribe to the Hawksby and Jacobs weekly podcast today and get all the highlights of the week delivered direct to you every Thursday.
So there we are. That was the best of the week. And we do hope you enjoyed it, including, of course, do you want to go back over what they've just listened to
no, it's fine.
In any great detail?
No, it's fine.
No, I think that's enough. Okay, so we'll do this every Thursday and we'll give you a fresh batch from the week. So thanks for downloading us as always.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.